You're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, just here to let you know that this episode has been edited for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri in for Jane Lindholm. Summer is a wonderful time to get out and do, to play and participate. But it's also hot and humid, and it's a perfect time to sit and watch and let others sweat, try, and compete before your very own eyes. A perfect time to spectate. So we're going to take time today to introduce you to spectator sports around the state and around the region. We're going to talk about rowing, hunting, jumping, rodeo, football, and football. That would be soccer football. But let's start with America's pastime. Vermont has one professional baseball team, the Vermont Lake Monsters, of the Class A New York Penn League. A couple of seasons ago, we stopped at Centennial Field to talk to some of the fans.
I'm Marilyn Marshall from Jericho. The thing I like about the Lake Monsters baseball is it's such a family experience. You're right on top of the action. The whole family can see all the players and participate in the game in a way that you can at a bigger ballpark. And it's so affordable and just a fun family night out.
I'm Matt Montross from Waterbury, Vermont. It's affordable. I mean, we get to see, you know, real baseball, and we get to drink pretty good local beer at the same time. So it's a win-win. I usually make it down a couple times a year. I usually bring my wife, actually my father-in-law. So we usually make it as much as we can. We'd make opening day this year. We have the last couple years. So we're going to try to make up for that with a couple more games down the road.
Now let's talk with Joe Dowd, who is the general manager of the Lake Monsters. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Joe, where are your players?
In the air right now, somewhere over middle America. They arrive tonight. They land in Manchester, then take a bus up to Burlington. And they're all based out of Arizona, where the A's spring training complex is. So they're somewhere en route to the Northeast.
And then how long do they have to kind of get together, form as a team before they start playing?
2 days. So we basically have 2 days of, it's called mini camp, where essentially it's 2 days of practices and media and headshots and getting used to everything in Vermont and New England, and here's your host families, and then they take off for their first game on Friday morning.
That's a rather wee mini camp.
Yes, it is.
Are there any returning Lake Monsters on the roster this year?
Yeah, we have about 10 probably, 10 or 12, I would say, from last season, which is great. You know, last year we had a really good year. We had a great team, a really successful team as far as wins and losses go. So it's good to kind of get some of that knowledge and experience back in the clubhouse, and even just off the field, knowledge and experience with the community and the area and kind of how things work around here is also very helpful. So we're happy about that.
For fans, Joe, what will they experience and enjoy at Centennial Field this season?
Yeah, you know, we try to always have something different going on. You know, our job with the Lake Monsters really is making sure that if you're a baseball fan, come to the ballpark, have a great time. And if you're not a baseball fan, still come to the ballpark and still have a great time. So, you know, we try to make sure that every night we have something different going on, whether it's, you know, different theme type things as far as princess and superheroes, maybe your Star Wars, or this year we're doing a Harry Potter night at the ballpark. So there's, you know, various things outside of the game, but then of course there's, you know, the fan favorite giveaways, you know, hats and jerseys and t-shirts and, you know, things of that nature, certainly. So we have a lot of fun stuff going on this year at the ballpark.
And muggles are allowed on Harry Potter night, right?
Of course.
Just absolutely. Want to make sure. And Champ's still around?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Champ's the boss. Champ will be there.
He is the boss.
2025th season this year, so he's looking forward to it. He's had a busy off season and is excited to see all of his friends soon here.
Have there been any improvements made to the stadium over the off season?
Yeah, we've done a little bit. You know, we, you know, unfortunately for the fans, they don't really notice. We had a fire last year in our home clubhouse in mid-July, which obviously was quite a setback. So we've spent a good chunk of the winter working on that and repairing that. So again, like I said, you know, unfortunately, the casual fan's not going to know, you know, what the clubhouse looked like or currently looks like. But that's been a big project for us. And the other thing we've worked on this year, really in part with Major League Baseball's recommendations, is we've extended our foul ball netting to cover all of our seating area. Which that obviously from a safety standpoint is going to be a pretty significant change for us. We're excited about that. I'm sure Not everybody will greet that with open arms, but that being said, it's a fantastic change. The net, it sounds kind of strange. You know, netting is not a great topic of discussion, but we put up a new net behind home plate, I think about 4 years ago. And the technology in the netting world is incredible. I mean, how different the net we have up now looks from the one we bought a couple of years ago. I mean, it's incredible. You know, it's probably, I would say, a third maybe as thin, twice as strong. It's impressive. So we're looking forward to that as well, too.
And I think NHL fans, Major League Baseball fans who have seen that kind of extended, really after an inning or two, you really don't notice. You kind of look right through it and are engrossed in the game, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, this one, like I said, I mean, you really almost do have to look for it. And if you are, you can notice it. But exactly as you said, you know, I would say an inning or two tops and you're going to forget all about it.
Now, Major League Baseball has really kind of put emphasis on rule changes, speeding up the game. Anything we'll see during New York Penn League games this season?
Yeah, so the big one that we're seeing at our level, we don't really see a ton of rule changes because basically we're really the first entry into the professional sporting world for the players. So, you know, things, there's pitch clocks in the AA and AAA levels that, you know, for us, not that it wouldn't make sense, but it's just these guys are getting used to so many other things that, you know, speeding them up on the pitching mound is really, I don't think it's going to save a lot of time. But this year, the new rule that's coming into play that we're going to see, it actually has been established below us, kind of in the rookie levels in the spring training, different facilities, is in extra innings. So once the 10th inning begins, if we get into extra innings, a runner will start on second base. So basically the thought behind that is, you know, it puts a runner in scoring position without any outs, essentially, right before things get going. And if the run does score, it's a, you know, unearned run for the pitcher, so it's not going to hurt him as far as his statistics go for the year. But we'll most likely at least have games that extend into extra innings conclude a little bit faster. And that's a change that, it's like I said, it's new to our level this year. I'm honestly not really sure if it's something that's going to last for a while, but they're going to try it out and see how it goes.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. And Joe, for Lake Monster fans looking for a real rival, a team they can heckle, do they go with the Tri-City Valley Cats or the Staten Island Yankees or somebody else?
Sure, yeah. You know, it's tough. At this level, there's, you know, rivalries are challenging because a lot of our players, you know, there's so much movement on our roster. You know, we're going to open the season here with about 30 players. And I would say in a month, you know, we'll probably have 30 or 40%, you know, different players on the roster. So it's hard to really develop a natural rivalry. You know, it's not the Red Sox Yankees by any means. But, you know, Tri-City, they're pretty close to us. They're just about 3 hours on the dot driving time. They're in our division. We play them a lot. So they're certainly, you know, we see some rivalry there internally. And, you know, we also have the Connecticut Tigers, who they're in town on Monday. They're in our division as well as the Lowell Spinners. Lowell, we're not playing at home this year, but really the three of those teams are the teams that we play the most and probably, you know, I would deem as our biggest rivals.
All right, we'll heckle them. Joe Dowd is the general manager of the Vermont Lake Monsters. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Let's talk some more baseball. Summer college baseball took hold in Montpelier in 2003 with the creation of the Vermont Mountaineers, the New England Collegiate Baseball League. They're now in their 16th season of play, and we're going to check in with their new manager, Blake Nation. Blake, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, explain the idea of summer college baseball.
So the idea of summer college baseball is to give these guys an opportunity away from their school to not only get better in the summer, but also to give scouts a chance to come by and see what they can do with a wooden bat. Now, this league was created in 1994, to recognize that, bridge the gap between the New York Atlantic Collegiate League and the Cape Cod League. So it gives these players locally and nationally a chance to show what they have with a wood bat.
Yeah, what is the caliber of the player who plays in the NECBL?
Now, the caliber of the player here, we'd say, is just below the Cape Cod. Now, we had 95 previous players from this league drafted in this year's draft alone. All 30 teams were represented and picked from our guys. So the chances of you coming out and seeing a professional baseball player or a future professional baseball player is very, very high. So you're really seeing a high caliber of player, lots of D1 players from big-name schools all over the country.
Yeah, where are your players from?
They're from all over the country. Currently, we have a player from Washington. Of course, he made the World Series, so he'll be coming out late. We have a player from Florida. They also made the World Series, so they'll be coming out a little bit late. We have Stony Brook. We have Adelphi. Just players from all over the country.
The team has started to play. The season has started. So how have you done so far?
We're 2-3. We won last night, so I'm feeling pretty good today. We have a game tonight against the Valley Blue Sox.
Gotcha. Now, there are some players who have made it from the Mountaineers to the majors. Who are some of those players?
A.J. Pollock is probably the most notable one. He's currently in the big leagues right now. He's the type of player that definitely has all-star caliber, especially for this year. I think currently we have 12 guys in the big leagues that play for us previously. But like I said, it's a great chance to come out and see a future star.
Where do the players stay during this summer season?
We have host families set up, many of the host families have been doing this for many, many years, and they're great. And, it's awesome that you can get people locally to sign up and take someone into their home that they've never met before. So they do a great job with that every year, and we're really appreciative of them.
Now, Blake, the Mountaineers have always drawn well in their 15 previous seasons. So from a fan's perspective, what is it that makes this a fun evening out in Montpelier?
You know, it's similar to the Lake Monsters, just at a little micro level. You can watch great talent for a cheap price and be with all your friends and family in town. It's just a great family atmosphere. And like I said, a cheap way to see future big leaguers.
And you can bring your lawn chairs.
Yeah, you can bring your lawn chairs, too.
Blake Nation is the manager of the Vermont Mountaineers of the NECBL. Thanks so much for talking with us, Blake.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And in addition to the Mountaineers, you can see NECBL games throughout the area. Other teams in the league are the Upper Valley Nighthawks, the Keene Swamp Bats, and the North Adams Steeplecats. And then there's the Plattsburgh Redbirds, who play in the Empire Professional Baseball League, another summer college league. And don't even get me started on the Can-Am League teams playing in Quebec. So even if you can't make it to Fenway, Yankee Stadium, or Citi Field this summer, you've got plenty of baseball options right in your own backyard. Now let's talk football. The colleges don't start the season until September, so you'll have to wait for Norwich, Castleton, Middlebury, Dartmouth, Williams, and UVM's club team a little bit longer. But there is football in Vermont and Montreal in the summer. Let's start north of the border, where the Canadian Football League starts its regular season this weekend. The Montreal Alouettes start on the road on Saturday, then return to Percival Molson Stadium on Friday, June 22nd against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. One player with a local connection will be suiting up for the Owls. That's running back Ryder Stone, a recent Dartmouth grad. He took a break from practice yesterday afternoon to update us on how training camp has gone for him so far.
It's truly been awesome. It's been a great experience, and getting to know the guys and working for the last few weeks here, it was a really fun experience, and I'm excited now for week one to really dive into the regular season. This weekend in general was pretty exciting. Then we had Dartmouth graduation, and then I went straight from the game on Saturday and drove down for graduation, and then now I'm back here for practice.
Well, this weekend you got some good game action, 6 carries, 19 yards. What kind of role do you think you'll play in the Owls' offense this year?
In the offense, I'll be in there wherever I can, wherever they need me. Right now, I believe be more of a relief role. Obviously, we have Tyrell Sutton, who's a vet here on the team, and Stephon Logan as well, and they'll be the main contributors. But whenever they need me, I'll be ready for the call.
Will you also be doing some special teams?
Yes, that's one of my main contributions will be this year, is I'm working hard on special teams. Coach Donovan, he's been awesome to work with, really helping me out. It's been a good experience, and that's where I'll be putting the work in for the most of the season.
You've had to adjust from growing up with the Canadian game, college ball playing American rules, and now back to Canadian. Has that been a difficult transition?
Surprisingly, it hasn't been too harsh of a transition at all. I think maybe it might be the luxury of being a running back. The rules don't necessarily affect the position all that much, but I found the transition to be pretty smooth. The biggest thing is just when I was in America playing American ball, I'd just stand in the backfield like a statue. So it's kind of nice to be able to have that freedom to move around a little bit.
For Americans not familiar with the Canadian game, what do you think they'll enjoy about it?
The speed of the game. I think the turnaround's a lot bigger, or a lot quicker, sorry. There's big chances for long plays down the field because you only have two downs, so you kind of need to take your chances when you can.
The Owls are coming off a 3-win season and losing both exhibition games. What are the prospects for improvement this year?
I mean, I think we have a high ceiling. Just looking at the way that we work together as a team, we have a really close-knit group, which is something that I've loved so far during camp. I think we have a very promising outlook on the season. Guys weren't downtrodden at all with the way that the preseason games went. It was a work period, and we needed to work out the kinks in our offense and defense, and I think we're looking forward to a great season.
After a good career at Dartmouth, did you think you had a shot at playing CFL ball?
I did. That was ultimately one of my goals, was to continue playing, whether it was in the States or in Canada. So I had been preparing for that and had some good inclinations that I would get drafted to play in the CFL.
You're from Calgary. Will you have divided loyalties when you play the Stamps this year?
No, I mean, I'm an Alouette now, and that's my team. And I mean, I went to the Stampeders games growing up and everything, but you know, when line up against another team, that's the opponent.
Do you know when you'll be playing at Calgary?
So July 21st is when we're playing the Stampeders. I am looking forward to it. Adi Flaren Ormalade, or Flo, was a former teammate at Dartmouth. He's actually on the Stampeders now as well.
Will you have a lot of family and friends in the stands that day?
Yes. Yeah, I hope so.
Ryder Stone is a recent graduate of Dartmouth College and now a running back for the Montreal Alouettes. Ryder, good luck this season.
Thank you. I appreciate it, and thank you for taking the time.
The Alouettes, and that means Lark, play this Saturday night in Vancouver against the BC Lions. They'll be home the following Friday against Winnipeg for their home opener. They're not the only team playing football in the area this summer. Vermont has two minor league teams, the Vermont Ravens and the Southern Vermont Storm, both members of the New England Football League. The Ravens play home games at Norwich University in Northfield and at South Burlington High School beginning in July. They finished last season with an 8-3 record and lost in the league championship game to the Storm on a last-second touchdown. They're in their 12th season. The Southern Vermont Storm begin their 13th season with an exhibition game this Saturday at 4 at the new Storm Stadium at Lower Willow Park in Bennington. This is the first season that they'll be playing all their home games in that town. On both teams, you'll find players with high school experience and maybe some college ball in their backgrounds. And who are now playing purely for the love of the game. Here's one you might not know about, even though it's in its 47th year. Every Saturday night throughout the summer, there's a rodeo in Castleton. Yes, a rodeo in Castleton. It's at the Pond Hill Ranch just outside of town. We visited the rodeo a few years ago to learn why anyone would compete in it.
I'm Kent McCormick from Jacksonville, Florida. I ride bulls professionally. I mean, my whole family, we've always dealt with cows and horses and stuff, and now I started rodeoing, and bull riding pays more than everything else. It's a lifestyle you cannot even explain. One minute you're rich, next minute you're poor. You just get on and hang on and have fun.
And what about your body?
Oh, we don't even talk about that. Injury's just part of it.
Yes, rodeo is definitely a sport where it's probably better to watch than participate, unless you have robust health coverage. The Pond Hill Rodeo in Castleton gets started on June 30th and is every Saturday night through September 1st. And let's take a call from Evan, who's calling from Jericho. Evan, how you doing?
How are you?
Good. So what do you like to watch?
I've been a rugby player since I was 6 years old. I grew up in Scotland, and coming to UVM, I was delighted to see that they had a rugby team. And after graduating, I've been playing for the Burlington Men's rugby team. And I think that bringing attention to this sport, a lot of people would appreciate its aspect that's similar to football, just that kind of a higher pace, more longer to watch, you know, without the pauses. And there's also a team in Stowe, the Mad River team. Right? So two local teams in the area.
Excellent. What position do you play, Evan?
I'm a center, but I play anywhere in the backs, basically.
Oh, my. And it's a brutal sport. So do you stay kind of injury-free throughout the season?
It gets a bad rap in this country for being brutal. I would argue that football, American football as I know it, is far more brutal. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I just had hip surgery. There's definitely injuries involved, but it's not as barbaric as it's led on.
Yeah, and the one thing about rugby that a lot of people don't get are the rules are a little different. So can someone enjoy it who don't know the rules intimately if they just show up and watch a match?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, displays of athleticism regardless of knowledge of the rules or laws, as we say in rugby. They can get a little complicated, you know, kind of consider it somewhere blend between soccer and American football. But yeah, it's definitely a lot to offer for sports fans.
Well, Evan, thanks for calling in and congratulations. Scotland had a pretty good run in the Six Nations rugby competition this year as well.
We did. I would just like to say that the 25th of this month, the Mad River Rugby Tournament is coming up in Stowe. Would love for some people to come out that have never been involved in rugby before.
Excellent. All right. Thanks for letting us know about that. Let's now talk about equestrian sports, hunting and jumping and equitation. Andrea Conrad is an equestrian based in Sunderland who trains and competes in various Vermont horse riding events. Andrea, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Now, the two main events are hunting and jumping. So what is the difference between those two?
It's actually called Hunter Jumper.
Hunter Jumper, right.
And there's three different styles of riding that you can watch. There's hunters, jumpers, and equitation. The hunters is judged solely on the horse's performance, smooth, consistent, effortless, quiet, phenomenal movement and style for the horse. The equitation is judged on the rider's performance. You know, they have to have a great position, a good eye, make smart choices with where they're going throughout the jumps. And the jumpers is can be a little more diehard. It's more about speed without errors.
And when you say errors, explain what that means.
Sure. There's time faults and jumping faults, which, you know, taking a rail down, refusing a jump. Time faults would be just having more time on the clock than somebody else or not completing in the time allowed. Every course in the jumpers has a set path with an idea of the time allowed to get from start to finish, and they base that.
Andrea, how long have you been riding?
Since I was three, over 30 years. I was born into it, so I was very lucky to have my mom as my trainer from the get-go.
Great. What takes place during this equestrian festival that's coming up in Dorset?
6 weeks of beautiful horse competition. It runs Tuesday through Sunday for 6 weeks, starting always July 4th week, going into the middle of August. There's many rings going, the arenas where the horses compete. You know, there's some shopping, some good food, and a lot of horses to watch and learn from.
Yeah, tell us about the horses that people will see when they attend.
They range in all shapes and sizes. There will be your small ponies all the way up through your large imported warm bloods that would compete in various divisions as well. Anything from, if your child is strong enough to sit in the saddle and look super cute and be led around on their adorable pony, to the Grand Prix, which is, you know, what everybody enjoys watching, the timed event with the largest prize money on the weekends.
And these horses are graceful athletes themselves, really.
That's what we strive for, absolutely.
Does someone need to know a lot about hunters and jumpers to enjoy watching the events that go on?
They don't. It certainly helps in certain competitions that you might be watching, certain classes. You know, like I mentioned before, the certain things to look for from one ride to the next, depending on what the class is. But you can certainly go and really appreciate an effortless, smooth ride in any arena.
And are there other places in the state where people can see equestrian events during the summer?
Absolutely. My roots are deep with what's called the Vermont Hunter Jumper Association. It's the VHJA. They have their own smaller circuit. A lot of those people will also be seen at the Vermont Summer Festival. It's a really good place for competitors to get their feet wet with a little less competition, as in just smaller classes and a shorter show period of time. And they are based anywhere from central Vermont to northern Vermont. Burlington area has multiple, and so does South Woodstock at the GMHA, which is the Green Mountain Horse Association grounds.
Now, one other thing that's really interesting is the course design itself, the beautiful jumps, et cetera. So how are those courses designed for these events?
That is a whole specialty in itself, and depending on the rating of the horse show, you know, how high up it is in the ranking, you have to have a lot of education under your belt. You know, depending on what class you're watching or going to compete in is depending on what type of course you will see designed for the riders and the horses to go through. You know, they have to be pretty uncomplicated for the beginner horse or rider, and then they get extremely clever and unique for the higher level of competition.
Andrea, what will you be personally competing in during this year's festival, you know, so we can come cheer you on?
Oh, I love to dabble in the hunters myself. I enjoy letting my horse do his thing. I like to dabble in anything that my horse is happy to do, which I think is the best combination to watch, is a horse that enjoys what ring and what job it's been given to do. So the hunters is what I enjoy in the equitation, and I would be competing as an adult amateur.
And your horse's name?
My horse's name is Whistler.
Oh, beautiful. And the riders who come to this event, it goes on for that length of time, you know, where do they come from?
They come all over the country, honestly. There's a large drive of people from Florida. They come all up the East Coast. It is a circuit that works towards accumulating points for year-end finals and qualifying for those. So typically it's a very common group of people, although it's a very large group, and you run into the same faces no matter where you are on the East Coast.
Andrea Conrad is an equestrian based in Sunderland who will be competing in the Vermont Summer Festival taking place in East Dorset from July 3rd through August 12th. Andrea, thanks for telling us about it and best of luck.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, another sport that will be front and center this summer is soccer. We do have a professional team nearby. The Montreal Impact are in the MLS and play their home games at Stade Saputo in Montreal. Their season runs through October, and beginning on Thursday, it's World Cup Soccer. Despite that being played in Russia, you can experience the matches in a special way by finding a great soccer pub in your area, or by finding an ethnic neighborhood in Montreal, and go on game day for that team's country. Adopt them as your team and watch the match with the locals. It's an experience not to be missed. Finally, it's time to check in with Hap Welpley. He's the coach of the Green Racing Project sculling team at Craftsbury Outdoor Center in Craftsbury Common. Hap, great to have you on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hap, what is the difference between sculling and rowing?
Great question. You know, you could say that sculling is a subset of rowing, but, you know, some scullers might take offense to that. Basically, when you scull, you have a smaller oar in each hand. So each rower has two oars. In rowing or sweep rowing, you have one oar for each individual. So two hands are locked onto one larger oar. So,
which will we see in Craftsbury this summer?
Craftsbury, well, once in a blue moon, we have some sweep rowers up here, and I've had them both as teammates and as athletes. We predominantly focus on sculling, and the camps that go on, as well as the competitive team that I'm coach of, you know, pretty much exclusively focus on sculling and small boat use.
How did you get interested in the sport?
Well, that's a good question. For me, it was I had an uncle who I always looked up to, who was a walk-on in college to a collegiate rowing program, and I just always sort of revered him. And so when I was growing up in Milwaukee, there was a club that was relatively small at the time, and it just sort of, my looking up to my uncle put the bug in my ear and then took off from there. And now I've committed probably way too much time to this sport.
Hap, who comes to train and compete at Craftsbury in the summer?
Great question. So we have a couple things that go on. We have three programs, basically. We have the sculling camps where people come from around the world of all ages and all experience to row and to learn how to scull and get better at it. Then we have community rowing, which maybe we'll touch on a little bit later, and that's open to the general public as an opportunity to try this sort of unique water sport. And then the third is the Green Racing Project, which I'm in charge of, and that basically has U23 scullers, so primarily collegiate athletes trying to make our U23 national team, but then we also have resident athletes who live here year-round in an attempt to make the senior national teams and then ultimately the Olympics.
Well, what can spectators see when they come to Craftsbury? Is it easy to watch?
It is easy to watch, but I mean, that's probably one struggle that our sport has had from the start. The typical race for rowing is 2,000 meters, so that's kind of a hard thing when you're, you know, somebody's out on the water and they're coming down. But the lake here is small enough. There's also a public access, and people would be welcome to watch from our Adirondack chairs and our docks. And you'd be able to see practices of all shapes and sizes. You know, some are larger and involving the camps, and they have small sort of subset groups. And then the organized practices with the Green Racing Project happen pretty much daily for the most part, and they vary in intensity. Sometimes they're short duration and people are rowing really fast. Other times it's sort of more steady, but on shore it all looks pretty serene for the most part.
Is there something specific that spectators should be looking for, some skills maybe? Or
that's a tough question to ask. I would say if a rower is doing it right, there should be a grace, you know, that they see from the shoreline. You know, the sport really kind of fuses both power and grace together. And so if somebody's doing it well, there should be kind of an effortless, what appears on shore to be an effortless association between the sculler on top of the boat and the scull or the hull below them. So that's the goal that everyone's sort of questing for, to get that type of efficiency and that smoothness with the water.
All right. Now, you mentioned, you teased us with community rowing. You got to tell us more about that, because maybe someone will actually want to get out in one of those boats.
I mean, that would be great. We have boats to kind of accommodate everyone, but community rowing, we call it Hosmer Community Rowing after the body of water that we're on, the Great Hosmer Pond. It's an opportunity on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to go for a row and try it for the first time. So on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, it's open from 4:30 to 5:30. On Wednesdays, it runs from 4:30 to 6 p.m., and Wednesdays is the day that we encourage all beginners to come. Experienced rowers could come on all the days, but if you're a first-timer, we'll make sure to have more staffing and more boats available on Wednesday to give you what's hopefully not a crash course in the sport of sculling.
And when you say beginner, you mean beginner?
Oh, you could be a total beginner. You know, we need to make sure that you're comfortable in the water before you go out, but we have boats that, you know, are relatively more stable boats all the way to the narrower boats that are a little tippier and more like a racing shell. So we've had people that, you know, have never been in a canoe before that tried it, and then other times we have canoe and kayakers that for their first time decide, hey, let's see what a lake looks like when I'm facing backwards and moving forward.
Yeah. Sounds fun. Hap Welpley is the coach of the Green Racing Project sculling team at Craftsbury Outdoor Center in Craftsbury Common. Thanks for joining us today, Hap.
Hey, no problem.
And we have links to just about every event you've heard on the show today on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net.